Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with the CEO and founder of Mara Beauty, Allison McNamara.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm obsessed with you.
The feeling is mutual. I feel like we met back when we had the lymphatic drainage massage, and I feel like we just got along immediately.
Yes.
Yes.
I remember what we were talking about. Do you remember?
Oh my gosh. Wait, we were talking about something.
A show.
Oh my God. I do remember we were geeking out over something, but I watched so many shows.
The summer I turned pretty.
Oh my God, that was my era, because that was the summer.
Yeah.
And I didn't turn pretty.
Same. No, literally.
So sad.
Well, I was talking about, because I was going to the Outer Banks, and you were like, oh my God, the summer I turned pretty, because we were talking about like that vibe.
That was actually my summer. I'm now onto jury duty, so I've moved, I'm well past that.
Okay, yeah. Where are you at in jury duty?
I'm finished.
Oh, I finished. What do you think?
I'm like obsessed. I love Ronald. I'm like obsessed with the whole concept. And I thought he was so nice. Like,
oh my God.
I would have been a total bitch throughout that process.
Yeah.
So watching him be such a star human, I was like 20 out of 10.
The bed scene.
Dying.
The jumping.
Screaming. When I tell you, my mouth dropped. And like James Marsden, I see him all the time at Sushi, by the way.
Oh, do you really?
He doesn't know me, but I see him all the time in Studio City. And, you know, I've seen him interact. So watching him act like such a, like asshole actor was so funny, because he's totally not like that.
That is
funny.
It was
just amazing.
I mean, he played it well.
So good.
Yeah, hilarious. Anyway, Let's talk everything about your business. I want to hear about your childhood because you had a dad in the beauty business and you had this whole other career before you pivoted. So jump into the deep end. Tell me everything.
Okay. So I grew up in California in a place called Palos Verdes. It's like this ocean community that's really rooted in ocean culture. And I love being by the ocean and my dad is in beauty. And so grew up with him working on formulas and bringing home products and getting to play with those. And that was such an integral part of my childhood. And we were always like really encouraged to celebrate beauty, which I feel like a lot of kids aren't when they're younger, especially maybe more now, but not back in like the 90s. So I was constantly playing with different types of salicylic acid products and masks and bringing all these things to my friends' sleepovers. And it was such a big part of how I grew up. And so flash forward, I decided I wanted to be a television host, went on that journey, but then ultimately brought me back to the thing that I love most, which is beauty. So
incredible. And I'm sure without even realizing it, when you're just around someone who's in that space, you start hearing the lingo and the terms way earlier than like the average Joe.
Totally.
You probably knew all these like crazy terms.
Yeah. Even just being on commercial sets and like getting to watch like Misha Barton do the commercials.
Yeah.
Like that, even the branding and the marketing and how those products were positioned was such a big part of what I was exposed to when I was younger. I feel like really helped me on this part of the journey.
Totally.
Yeah.
So what was your dad doing in beauty?
So he worked at a bunch of different, you know, companies. He was the CEO of Neutrogena. So I guess that's kind of a big deal. Yeah, he's incredible. He's such an incredible marketer. He also went to Too Faced. He still works in the business. So he's at Dr. Dennis Gross and T3 Micro.
Is?
Yeah, he's like retired.
I'm obsessed with their LED.
It's literally crazy. When I tell you that's my favorite tool, I use it every single night.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like five passes.
Are you doing? Oh, really?
I do. Yeah. It's 3 minute cycles.
Wait, I need to be doing more?
I do more of them. I do like one of each, you know, they're three different like levels.
What color are you
so
using?
So I do red, purple, and then the last
blue,
one. And then I'll
whatever.
Start it over again.
Okay.
Like ding, ding, ding every single night. Like while I'm scrolling TikTok, you know, might as well be doing something for my skin.
Was he a CEO the entire time you were growing up or was he working his way up at the company?
He worked his way up for sure. I mean, you don't wake up and become a CEO.
Yeah.
I think he worked at CoverGirl when I was younger, and that's why I lived in Maryland. And then I moved out here to California when I was really young. But he held general like marketing positions, I think, throughout his career, and then went to Neutrogena and then went to Too Faced after that. So really was in that space my whole life.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, it was awesome.
What are some of the biggest takeaways that you've learned from him being your dad?
Well, he kind of coaches me in the sense where he's really helped me with supply chain, I would say, because, you know, when I started the business, I had no idea what I was doing. So I think constantly just asking me questions like reaffirmed my knowledge. So I think that was really important. And I also think just getting and communicating ideas quickly and clearly to the customer is something that I've watched him work on and hopefully, you know, has by osmosis come to me. So I think those two things. But I think he's just been so great at being that sounding board when a lot of people aren't on your side when you're building a business.
Totally.
It's really nice to have someone who is totally just wants you to succeed. So
that's something that I feel like isn't talked about enough is secret haters.
Yes. Yes. People who are nice to your face but secretly want your downfall.
Yes.
There are lots of those. And you know what? It's easy to be that way because we all want to be successful and there is
enough
room. But it's hard when you're watching people grow. And look, I've been on the other side of that where you're like, why are they getting that thing? Why am I not getting that thing? So it's nice to have a truly like platonic person who just wants the best for you.
Yes.
And if you don't have that and you're starting a business, try and find that.
How do you weed out or kind of spot those secret haters and make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that genuinely want the best for you?
That's a really hard question because I feel like you don't know at first, but I always have had like an amazing group of women that I've always been surrounded by, and most of them are entrepreneurs and they're not all in beauty. They're, you know, publicists and they have different types of athletic brands. And I think just having that group, especially if it's diversified in terms of like what you're actually creating, is super helpful. And then, I mean, look, family isn't everything for everyone. Like your parents might not have your best interest in, at
totally.
Heart. So I wouldn't say always rely on the parent, but really try and find that good friend that just will give you the advice. Like, no, that's ugly, Allison. Like my good friend April, actually, shout out to her. When I was first designing the packaging, which I did myself, I was working at Main Attics at the time and I brought the prototype of the box and April was like, girl, your stuff is so good. Like, cause she had tried the product. She's like, but that packaging is ugly. And I'm like, wow, thank you for standing up to me. Cause everyone was just saying like they liked it. And it totally rerouted the vision for the brand. So,
well, that's the thing with a secret hater is they're almost like a yes man to everything.
Totally.
Even if it's
bad. And your real friends will be like, babe, you can do better.
Like, you can do better. Go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. What were you doing at Maine Addicts?
So I was their editorial director.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you've lived so many different lives,
honestly,
Allison.
Honestly, I had to, because I was on TV for a long time and at Pop Sugar and Refinery 29. And when I left that part of the journey, I worked for myself as well. So I was doing all sorts of types of roles while I was building Mara and while I was ideating Mara. So I worked at Maine Addicts. I was consulting for lots of other brands. I was creating content for Entertainment Tonight. It was just, I was doing anything that would kind of stick, because I also really wanted to do Mara, but I had to, you know, also make a living while I was creating the business.
Totally.
So.
Well, I think that's something, again, that's not talked about enough, is people grinding with their day to day while also doing their 5 to 9 at night, which is their passion project.
Totally. I feel like we're always fed like the dream story, right? Like, oh my gosh, my first year in business, I'm doing like 20 million in sales. And look, that does happen to people. But I think if you're not a celebrity and you don't have a massive following, it does take that grind and you have to make sacrifices. So whether that's working for yourself, but finding little jobs that you can do on the side to support you while you're building your dream, or if it's working the 9 to 5 and then doing the dream on the 5 to 9, you have to kind of make those choices.
What are some of the things you learned that have just helped you with overall life when you were working at Pop Sugar, Refinery 29, E! News, all of those entities?
I feel like what I learned is how to be really quick and consistent with my work, because when you're in TV, we'd get to the, you know, the studio in the morning, we'd write the show. So I actually was one of the writers on the show for my segments. And so,
and is this Pop Sugar?
Yeah, Pop Sugar. So it went from a online daily live show to a made for TV show. So it was the first digital show that was taken live.
That is insane.
TV. It was great. It was like, honestly, it was the Wild West of media, and it was such a cool experience. But I think being able to work quickly and concisely was really important. And I also think it taught me a lot about time management, because I'd have to go from shooting the live show to then shooting something else for the segment to be packaged for the next day. So I think that really helped me with like time management, which I think is important as an entrepreneur.
What do you think are the keys to being quick and consistent? Like, if you're not quick and consistent, how do you get to that point?
Practice. Okay. You have to do it over and over and over again. I feel like writing every single day, if that's what you need to do. I write the copy for Mara. That's probably my favorite part of it, like coming up with the name and the marketing and the slogans. And I feel like you have to exercise that muscle. And I think consistency, like doing things all the time, is what makes you really good at them. It makes you faster and quicker. Like, nothing replaces knowledge and time for that.
Exactly. I want to circle back to your dad a little bit and, you know, the lessons he's taught you along the way. Is there anything else that you feel like you use on a daily basis as far as advice you've taken from him?
He's really calm and he's really thoughtful with his words. And that's something that as an Aries, I am not. I'm impulsive. I am quick. I am like fiery. So I really try and take like that calmness of like, okay, this is a really stressful situation, but I need to be strong for the other people that work for me and with me. So I think like being a good leader is something I've taken from him, or hopefully. Maybe he doesn't agree. He might not agree yet, but I'm learning, okay?
And is he helping you at all with Mara?
He doesn't work on the business per se, but he does give me advice. So I would love for him to work more, but he is busy. And he's also, he's worked his way up where he does not need to be working, you know, 9 to 5 anymore. But of course, if I'm doing a new product launch or we're formulating, he's really big with me in formulating, because I don't let a lot of people try the products before they're ready. I'm very like secretive.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, I do let the team start testing them when they're in a better place. But the reason why I do that is because I do know what I'm trying to create, and I don't want too much feedback. Because
yes,
you shouldn't ask for feedback if you're not willing to take it.
Yes.
And so I am very secretive in the beginning processes, because I know what I'm trying to do. And a lot of things I'm trying to create aren't out there yet. And people aren't always open to new ideas. So if you give them something that's not quite ready, where you know where it's going, and then they give you feedback, it gets in your head. And you don't want that.
And I'm so swayed by other people.
Me too.
I'm a people pleaser.
Same.
Yeah. So that's so smart. Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. And so I share it with him, and we work on those formulas a lot in the beginning phases of them. And then when they're ready, I kind of widen the audience, get more feedback when I'm ready for other people's opinions. So I think that's a good piece of advice too, because yeah, you can be easily swayed by others. And if you know what you're trying to create, like keep it close until you're ready for the feedback.
Even the simplest stuff, I'm actually trying to be more in tune with my gut with just everyday life. Like, if I'm at, this is such an LA example, but if I'm at Erewhon I want the Hailey Bieber smoothie, and someone's like, oh, you need to try the new Giselle smoothie.
I do want that.
I'm trying to stick to my gut. And like, obviously that's an insane example, but I think there is something to sticking to your gut and trusting your intuition and not being swayed by others.
Totally. Even like an outfit. Like if you're getting ready for a night out and you ask your friends which one do you want to wear, but you know which one you already want to wear, then why are you asking? Because then they say the other one and then you're going to be like, oh, okay, you know?
Well, every time I ask, it's same with when I'm about to post an Instagram and I send it to my friends and I'm like, which one's best? Like which photo do I like best? And I know which one I want to post.
Exactly. So just like post that one. So it's that same kind of concept, but with formulas.
You've talked a lot about being super in touch with your gut and your intuition. How did you get in touch with it the way you are?
Oh, that's such a great question because I think that that is cultivated over time. I grew up feeling very like not fitting in and kind of feeling like an outsider. And I feel like because of that, I was forced to choose, like really feel confident in the choices I was making. And so I think that just has grown over the years. And I am a secret witch. You know, I've always had a bit of an intuitive side to me. So I think those two things paralleled also with the fact that I'm just older now. I'm in my mid 30s. So it does take a long time to feel very confident in your own skin. And people say that, you know, oh, when you get to your 30s, you'll feel different. But you do feel different. You've lived more of a life and you've got more choices and more knowledge in your gut, so you know what you like more. So I think that's all those things have helped.
Are there any practices or tips that you wish you would have started doing like in your early 20s to help get in touch with your intuition and gut sooner?
I feel like it's so hard because I look back at my 20s, my early 20s, and I was so focused on how I was perceived by other people versus actually just doing what you want to do for yourself. So I think just being more in tune with like not caring with what other people think. But that's so hard, right? Like you say that, but like putting that into action is much harder. You know?
I think that's the biggest thing people just in general struggle with is caring what others think.
I think Instagram has really not helped with that either because I didn't have Instagram for the first part of my career. Instagram really became popular in like 2013, 2014. And I started my career in 2009. So I think that that's also really made it hard for people to feel like confident in their choices. But, you know, it's a tough world out there. It really is. Just go with what you like.
Do you ever feel like you still struggle with that?
You know what? No.
Interesting. I love that.
No, I don't.
Why?
I just don't give a fuck anymore.
Period. How do you not give a fuck you what know, others think?
I think a big thing too is like, you know, I'm married to a woman now and a lot of that, that comes with a lot of scrutiny too. And I feel like just not caring what other people think, I think that helped me a lot with just coming out with my relationship with Cass.
Well, that's a huge game changer probably in your trajectory of life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a huge decision to make and to not give a fuck because sometimes people are all up in your business about that stuff and it's weird.
Yeah. And if you're not ready to talk about it, I dated men before. And so like, you know, that was a big turning point, I think, for me in coming into my own. Yeah, I think that's probably it, actually. Now I just don't care.
Period.
Yeah.
Okay, so the key to life is
not caring.
Is date a woman. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Honestly, it's not bad on this side, I promise.
I'm sure. Okay, wait. I want to talk a little bit about that because Cass is an incredible hair colorist in LA and owns a salon.
Yes.
So she's in the beauty business as well.
She is. We're a beauty little family. Dad, wife, and me. And
incredible.
My sister works in beauty too.
Shut up. Yeah. What does your sister do?
She works at Biolage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hair brand.
Okay, so how did you and Cass meet?
We met through my old hair colorist. He actually brought me to her birthday party, which she's a Capricorn. So it was like January 10 years ago.
Wait, trying to set y'all up or just as?
Kind of. He'd been trying to for a minute. And
were you seeing girls at this point?
Not really at the time. Like maybe one prior to that.
Okay.
But no, but he wanted us to meet. He thought we would get along. And we did. We've been basically dating ever since. So
wow. Yeah. I mean, can we normalize like setting people up more? I feel like coupled up people are gatekeeping their hot single friends.
Honestly, they probably are. And I kind of miss the dating app scene. So I'm grateful for that because it does seem like it's hard to meet people that way.
Wait, so what was it that your friends saw in the both of you that was like, you guys need to connect?
You know, we're not friends with him anymore. So I wish I could ask him. There was like a falling out between, because he was also a hair colorist. And I ended up going to my wife, now wife, to do my hair color then after a few months. And then that put a bad taste in the mouth. But
now you're literally, it's literally your wife.
It would be weird otherwise if I went to someone else. But I actually don't know what he saw because we're actually very different. Cass is very quiet. She is, we're both really hard workers and we both love our career, but she's much more quiet and like, I'm very loud and eccentric. And I don't know. I don't think I would have put us together naturally if I was like setting two friends up, but I think opposites attract, so.
Interesting. So what did it for you about Cass?
I love that she's a hard worker. I was really inspired by her career at the time. And she's just really like calm and nice and patient. Mm-hmm. All the things I have to try and work on mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah, literally.
Oh my God, right?
You're like yin and yang.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but she's so talented. So it's fun to like watch someone do really well at something they love.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing / time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in 4th place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 Hard Challenge, but 1 stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and 0 sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Was that something you struggled with as far as growing up dating men and then, you know, playing for the other team? Was that something you struggled with, I guess, coming out, or because you're in LA and you're surrounded by, I mean, like, I have like a gazillion gay they friends. So was it still a big deal or was it not really?
I just wanted to make sure it was the right choice that I wanted to make, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't sure, like, this was new for me. So I'm like, is this the journey I want for myself?
Yeah.
Because everything's a choice. And so it wasn't really so much a struggle of, like, being accepted, per se. Mm-hmm. But I think just more of, like, okay, is this the ideology that I have for myself now? Mm-hmm. And I was ready for it. So I went on that journey. But, you know, curiosity is, like, something that I always have had, too, for every part of life. I got most inquisitive in 5th grade. So I think it's interesting to just try new things. And so I was ready for it. But it was also a different time. Like, I have lots of gays and theys now, too. Uh-huh. But it wasn't like that back
that's
then.
That's true.
So this is 2014. So this is almost 10 years ago. Uh-huh. So it was a little different.
I feel like Gen Z is very up to date with just, like, everything.
Yeah, they all date everyone.
Yeah.
So it's definitely different now,
like,
than it was then.
If one of my friends is like, oh yeah, I went on a date with a girl, and then the next day they go on a date with a guy, I'd be like, period.
Yeah, exactly. I actually know lots of people like that now, so it's just much different.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so now you guys are both in this beauty business, and you've been married for how many years?
We've been married, oh my God, we've been married, our anniversary is coming up, 2 years this year.
Oh my God,
yes.
Congrats!
Yes, thank you.
That is so awesome. What's it like being married?
Honestly, it's the same. You know,
really?
I think it just depends. Like, we don't have any children, so it really just kind of feels like the same. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like the next step, you know?
Is that something you would want to do in the future, have children?
I do want to get my eggs frozen this year. That's something I've had on my to-do list that's weighed very heavily on me for a while, because it's just, it's a lot on the body. It's a lot on the mind, a lot on the hormones.
A lot on the bank account?
Yeah, it's expensive. I know. I've been saving for it. So that part, that is the only part I'm prepared for at this point, because I've been saving for it for a really long time, because I've always known that I wasn't going to be like a super young mom.
Got it.
And I want to have kids in like my 40s, I think. Mm-hmm. So that part I've been saving for, but the actual emotional toll and like I hate needles, like that part is really scary and overwhelming to me. But I'm not sure. I think like it's a question mark, but I don't want to let that opportunity go away either.
Being in a same-sex relationship, how do you go about having children if you want them to be biologically your own?
Well, you'd have to have like one egg and then a sperm donor.
Yeah.
And then if, you know, I have friends who have cultivated eggs, both women, and then they've had one of each with the same sperm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is really cute. We probably won't be doing that. I think I'm the only one that's going on the egg freezing journey. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of ways you can do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's scary nonetheless, but science is amazing.
No, it's incredible.
Science isn't like crazy.
I always say one of my guy friends, Murph, I'm like, listen, if you're single and I'm single by this time, we're having a child.
Why not? I mean, hello.
You're so hot.
I mean, the looks, the brains.
You're
are
so
all things.
Amazing. Like, you're so smart. I need your sperm.
That's very Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Yes, if you will. It so is. Okay, I want to go back to Mara. So what made you want to start this company?
I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I think a big part of my last career was I was working for myself at the end of that too, because I had my own business and they were hiring me to do these things. But I always thought that hosting was going to be the vehicle to get me to do my next thing. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be beauty or fashion, makeup. But I was always inspired by Ryan Seacrest. I remember he's iconic. And he also had his own suit line.
Uh-huh.
I remember being like, wow, I love the idea of a diversified revenue stream. It'd be really cool to work on lots of different things.
His name is on everything.
Everything. And so I thought that that was going to be the way. And in a way it was. But when my show got canceled, it was the show that I was doing. Shanae Grimes was my co-host. And we had a daily show on Pop TV. We would toss to Schitt's Creek. It was the most fun. But when that got canceled, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to go back to doing YouTube full time for different brands. And I wasn't sure I wanted to create a YouTube channel myself.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it. I think it's incredible. But I just was already used to having a full studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure if I wanted to kind of start over again.
Totally.
In that capacity. If I was going to start over, I wanted to do something that was totally new.
I get it.
And I was tired. You know, I've been working on camera for upwards of 9 years and hair and makeup every single day. I was fatigued. And so I didn't realize that the second journey was going to be even more fatiguing in a way. But it's so fun getting to learn a new skill. And so I started to do Mara. I had the idea on a trip to Turkey. Mara is the last four letters of my last name.
Mm-hmm.
It means sea in Gaelic. And my last name is McNamara, but it means hound of the sea if you translate it to from Gaelic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's really just built into like the family DNA. And I loved that. And, you know, each part of the journey when I was ideating at the beginning kind of fell together very seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that as a sign. And I'll never forget, on that same trip, we were driving through Positano, and I saw Mara, M-A-R-A, written on in like white writing on a rock in Italy as we were winding through the Amalfi Coast.
Shut up.
Because Mar is ocean also in Italian. So they had Mara written there, and I was like, oh my God, that's the sign. So I took that as, you know what, we're going to do it.
That is crazy.
It was.
Okay, I feel like a lot of people are similar to you in that they have this career and then they're feeling a little maybe burnt out or wanting something else or wanting something more. How do you know when it's time to pivot in your career? And what advice would you give someone who is at that point and they don't really know what they want to do yet?
I think the road gets hard when the world wants you to change. And the road was getting hard for me in that career. I was getting all these great shows. I had one on FYI Network. I hosted the Oscars pre-show for...
Oh, my God.
I was getting all these things, but then they weren't leading anywhere. It was kind of a bunch of stops. And I was working really hard. I was really tired. And I felt like the world was forcing this change on me. And so I think you've got to be able to recognize when things are just feeling really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're not ready, there are signs that you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of really listened to what I was feeling, these signs I was given for Mara, this idea that felt so robust and exciting, coupled with the fact that I wasn't getting these shows anymore. Like, the shows I was getting were stopping. Or I was getting so close to being in the finals for, like, Wipeout or something, and then, you know, not getting casted. And so I kind of took that as, like, look, I'm not going to fully close that chapter, but I'm going to go on this journey, too.
Got it. So you didn't ultimately close the door. You were just like, let's see what this other door is leading me to.
Exactly. And I still worked. So this is 2015 when I started ideating Mara. Mm-hmm. I didn't launch it till 2018. And I worked at Main Addicts and my other consulting jobs till 2022.
Wow.
Yes, to give you some timeline. So from 2015 to 2022, I was still operating my other business, A. McNamara, Inc. It's still active. No one really does anything for it. But that was something I really kept going for a long time. It was just a little less on camera. So mm-hmm. it was more consulting for brands and doing things that way.
The behind the scenes. Yeah. Which was probably second nature to you at that point.
So easy. But I loved it, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you get the name, you get the idea, and you're fully self-funded, correct?
Yes.
That is crazy.
Yes.
Good for you.
Thank you.
How did you have the bandwidth to self-fund a beauty company? I mean, that's insane.
It is insane. So there were a few things that we made, decisions I made that really helped with that. So I launched in the middle of the Korean 20-step skincare craze. And it was like, you need a million products, full skincare routines. Remember, we were doing like 95 steps. Mm-hmm. And I came out with the idea with one oil, just this one oil, universal face oil. That's it. The reason behind that is I couldn't really afford to make a million different products, because when you are making a product and you put them in different types of packaging, there's MOQs for everything. So 10,000 bottles, 10,000 droppers, 10,000 unit cartons. And I was like, look, I can't afford to do all of that at once, but I can't afford to do one killer product. Mm-hmm. So really put everything into that one product. And because of that, the success of that product then paid for the next product. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of snowballed. Like then the success of the next product paid for the next product. And that's kind of how the business grew. And so I think today it would be a little bit harder, because the cost of acquisition to get new customers is really expensive in 2024, much, much higher than it was in 2018.
What do you mean?
Whether you're doing meta ads on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
If you're trying to get an influencer to talk about your product, this is still earlier time. So people were getting paid to talk about product in 2018, mm-hmm. but not as much as they are now. Mm-hmm. People were more open, I think, to share organically than, hey, is there an affiliate code for that? Or, you know, so it was also a different time. So I do think I was blessed in the timing that I launched. Look, you can still launch a product today and be completely successful, but it was also before the celebrity craze of beauty launches too. And I think that you are up against the big guns. You know, you're up against Selena Gomez. You're up against Hailey Bieber. It is crazy. And they are incredible women and they deserve the spotlight that they mm-hmm. have. But it does make it harder. The market share just kind of cuts down into a smaller piece of pie.
Totally. Out of all the celebrity skincare brands, which one do you think is your favorite?
I love Rode. I love the products I've tried from Rode. I love the peptide glazing fluid, and I love her essence.
I like the milk.
I love that's the one glazing, I like the glazing yeah, milk. Yeah, I glazing love that milk. One. I'm trying to think other celebrity skincare brands. That's probably my favorite. I have a lot of favorite celebrity makeup brands, but skincare is hard.
It's really hard.
And you can tell when people put love into a product versus when it's a white labeled product. Mm-hmm. And I do think a lot of celebrities rely on a white label kind of idea for, you know what that is.
Right? No, I don't.
So a white label is basically where you go to a contract manufacturer and you're like, I want to make a cleanser, a lip balm, and, you know, an essence, let's say. And then they'll just kind of give you base formulas and you can add small marketing actives to it, but they're really built for you already versus doing a ground up formula where you're paying, you know, the difference is paying like $500 for a formula versus like $30,000 to $40,000.
Oh my gosh.
Just for the formulation. Yeah, because you're getting like a team of cosmetic scientists who are working on R&D for years sometimes on these products before they're actually out. So there's different ways to do it. And so I can really tell when, especially a celebrity, has gone that extra mile to make things really special.
Or you can tell when, which is probably what you're describing, when a company approaches a celebrity and is like, hey, do you want your face to be attached with our already made product?
Precisely.
Type thing. Which I can't blame them.
Yes, of course. They're busy people.
Of course.
Not everyone's meant for this journey. Mm-hmm. And not every celebrity is meant to be like a super in the weeds type of founder. Mm-hmm. And there's a place for everyone.
Okay, we need to go back to dissecting. What was the $30,000 to $40,000 for formulating? Is that mean a formulating an original product?
Yeah, some of our formulas cost upwards of $30,000 to $40,000 to actually just make the formula.
For one product.
And that's
for the sample, or for like it to be put into all the different,
babe, for the recipe.
No.
Yeah.
Allison.
I know. It's really expensive. So, yeah, it's crazy.
$40,000 for the recipe of your potential product? What if you don't like it?
Well, you work on submissions. So the goal is, look, I've made it all work, but I've been there in times. Actually, the one I just launched, Sea Dream, there were some twists and turns in the formulations of that product because I knew exactly how I wanted it to perform. But getting it there, girl, it was not pretty. It was actually really scary, like all the different routes we took.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, what is the product now?
Well, you're going to get it very soon.
I'm so excited.
It's called Sea Dream Firming Algae Cream. Mm-hmm. I have always historically hated face creams because that's why I launched with oils.
And oils.
Yes, I love oils. Most of our products are oil-based or water and oil emulsions. And a cream, I just felt like the category was saturated. I never loved the cream.
There's
like
a gazillion creams.
A gazillion creams. I never love how they feel on the skin. This is like a very specific way of describing something, but I get claustrophobic like everywhere.
Whoa.
And sometimes certain skincare products make me feel claustrophobic.
Interesting.
I don't like things that feel like you're putting saran wrap or like almost like a film. You know when things have a film or a pilling effect? And a lot of creams that are mattifying or blurring have that dry down.
Mm-hmm.
So for the cream, I want it to be very glowy, almost like sitting on the skin like a very lightweight face oil. Mm-hmm. So having that natural dewy finish, but really firming the skin, actually like providing efficacy. So having peptides and really beautiful stem cells and getting those to work with the algae that I wanted to work. It was just a really hard balancing game. So sometimes you'll go through, that one took me years. I started formulating in 2020.
Get out.
And we launched it this year. So it took, and it's not because we're slow anymore. At the beginning I was slow because I didn't know what I was doing. Now I'm fast. I'm just specific.
Uh-huh.
So it takes a while to get it to the place where I want it to be.
Got it. So was it something you started with being like, okay, I want, you know, these type of ingredients, and then they came back with it and you're like, actually, I don't like this. We need to move in a different direction? Or what did that look like?
Well, yeah. So I write my dream product out. I like write it like I'd write a story because I'm a journalist by trade. So I'll write it out like, this is how I want to feel and look and smell. These are the ingredients I would like to put in there. And then they kind of go with that.
How are you writing this?
Oh, like a full
and
product.
And where are you writing it?
I'm writing it usually at 11 p.m. at night if I'm at home or on an airplane.
On a computer?
On a computer.
Okay.
Yes.
In like a notes app or on Google Docs? I want the specifics.
I want like, so my the people who formulate with me, there's a very like official document that you fill out, but
okay.
I make it very, very like in depth. So you could go as simple as like a hydrating cream. You could write that as what you want. To firm the skin. I like peptides in it, but I'll write out exactly how I want it to feel. And it's funny because I always go back and read that as each time we're getting a submission. I'm like, is it giving the feeling? I also like assign words and colors to everything.
Whoa. So what were you assigning for Sea Dream?
Dewy Dreamy is what I want. I wanted to be like dewy and dreamy. And the name wasn't originally Sea Dream. It was Lay Rich Cream because I was in my Lay era where I was adding...
I'm so glad
we went past that. I still do it, but I was like Lay Deceased,
yes.
Lay Sauvage.
Like, Lay Uber.
Lay Uber. So it was in my Lay era when I started formulating. And it was Lay Rich originally.
Lay Rich. Okay.
But
is this a night cream?
You can use it morning or night, but it was originally intended as a night cream. But
it's a Sea Dream.
Sea Dream.
Like, am I dreaming with this cream on?
Okay. You should be. You
okay.
Know, great dreams. But also it works really well under makeup as a primer. So I am encouraging people to try it that way. But
and are you writing it like a story?
Yes.
Okay.
So I write
Can
like
you
a story.
Give us an example of what it would be.
Oh my
like.
Gosh. So I guess I would say like when you open up this cream, it feels like a dewy, dreamy skin awaits when you open this cream. It feels thick to the touch but melts into skin seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling those rich actives upon application. It slides on like butter. Like I'll write it kind of emotive like that.
Oh, okay.
And this I'm just winging right now.
Yeah,
But that's kind of where I would go with how I write the story. Because I want to like describe the feeling you feel as you're using it.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so then I put in the ingredients that I do the research on prior to submitting my like product profile.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of them make it in there. I'll like reach for the stars. I'm like, I want berberine in this and I want this thing. And I'll find like methyl blue from Erewhon that I've been taking. I'm like, put this in skincare. And they're like, babe, that doesn't work with this type of formula. I'm like, okay, we'll save it for a later day.
You're like, that makes it gritty.
Yeah, exactly. But mm-hmm. sometimes I am not a chemist. So mm-hmm. I kind of reach for the stars. Then we find what's applicable. And mm-hmm. then sometimes things you'll want, like moringa is one of our key ingredients we use. That has a very like nasty smell. Like it stinks. And mm-hmm. so sometimes we've got to play with the levels if we're not adding fragrance or any sort of like, we don't add fragrance, by the way, but we add different types of essential oils sometimes.
That can help make it smell delicious.
That help like, you know, curb that scent. But like Sea Dream was fragrance free.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to figure out like, oh, damn, this smells like shit.
Yeah.
So that was tough. But yeah, the formulation process is my favorite part, but it's stressful too.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you kind of get your scientific fix?
Yes.
Because I've heard in podcasts you say that you like love the science side of things.
I love it. I wish that was the one thing I didn't study that I wish I would have kind of gone forward with. Science was always my second love to writing. And Yeah, I love that part of it. I love learning how it works together. I love reading through the clinicals on each raw material, because the brochures, since I own my formulas, I know every ingredient, where they come from, how they're sourced, are they sustainable?
Do you mean you own them? Like, do some beauty brands just not own their
formulas? Most people don't own their formulas.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah. So, and that's because if you go to a contract manufacturer, they actually own the formula and they're basically licensing it back to you. And then sometimes if you can structure it like a create to buy, where you've got to create X amount of product until it becomes yours.
Okay.
So they're getting their fix off of you too. But since I go to a separate person, I go to a separate formulator, we make the recipe, then I take it to a contract manufacturer and I'm like, bulk up my formula.
How much is that?
It depends on the product. I mean, look, usually you're looking at a 5 to 10K MOQ. If the average item is $6 a unit, then you're, you know, you kind of do the math. Uh-huh. It gets to be pretty expensive quickly. And that's not including sourcing the jars, the caps, the unit cartons. So uh-huh. All in, I think I spent around $100,000 for the first product.
No.
Yeah, but it was done over incrementally. So it wasn't like 100K right up front.
And is this money you had saved up? Like, how did you get 100K?
Well, it's obviously saving. Uh-huh. And then we did have, my dad is a part of owner too, so he did help me a little bit with the business at the beginning. He owns 10%. Shout out Michael. He is so beneficial. But yeah, it's expensive, but they don't all come in at the same time.
10%, amazing, but like, that's not enough. There's 90%
I know
you had to pay for.
Yes, it's expensive. So yeah, it's a lot. But like I said, like, you'll do the first thing and you'll pay incrementally. So when you're formulating to, say it's a $20,000 formula, you'll pay it in four cycles. So like after the first submission, after the second submission, all those types mm-hmm. of things. So you get a little bit of a break. It's still hard.
But... Got it. It's like quarterly taxes.
Yes, exactly. You're like, oh God, it's Q3 again.
I've had some beauty brand owners, specifically makeup owners, on the show, and they were telling me that if they wanted to do like a foundation or a mascara, they have to buy like 10,000 units in
yeah.
it or something crazy. Is that the same for skincare?
Yeah, it is. 5 to 10. I think skincare you can go
5 to 10K.
Yeah, I know. So it's expensive.
1,000.
That's why I launched just one.
Okay.
Because I was like doing the math, and I actually am like much better at math than I ever thought I was.
How did you get good at it?
I think I've always been good with money, and I did well in math growing up, but I didn't realize, like, I didn't go to business school, so I didn't know what, like, a chart of accounts was. I didn't know how to, like, balance an accounting book, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I think you learn when it's your own money, too, like, where it's going and how you're spending it. And mm-hmm. so I kind of was doing the quick math, and I'm like, one product is all we can do mm-hmm. right now, so let's make it killer, mm-hmm. you know? But yes, you're correct. It's like a 5 to 10K minimum for everything. And then with beauty brands, if you're doing shades, sometimes the MOQ would be like 30,000 units, but split across 40 shades, so like 2K per shade. But it's hard because not every shade is as popular as like the other shades. So then you still have to buy that MOQ for all those shades because you want to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have, I'm the super fair, and most people don't even make my shade.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go do the gamut, and then it gets really expensive. Mm-hmm. So I bow down to the color cosmetics because that is not easy.
That is crazy.
Crazy.
Can you explain what MLQ is?
Oh, MOQ. So
MOQ.
Minimum order quantity.
Minimum order quantity. So that would be like the 10K
yeah.
units.
So you'll say you're reaching out to a top lab or a top formulator or a top manufacturer, and you'll ask them, what's your MOQ? What's the lowest MOQ you can give me?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll increase the cost per unit and give you a slightly lower MOQ. I like to have product made as often as possible for the lowest quantity
mm-hmm.
because even though it's more expensive, it's fresher for the client because I don't want stuff sitting on the shelf. Like,
yeah.
So we try and pay a little bit more of a premium to do lower quantities.
Got it.
Now that we're at Sephora, we're definitely like hitting way higher volumes than I was at the beginning. But at the beginning, I would just try and get it as low as possible,
mm-hmm.
even if I was paying slightly more for the product.
What is something an aspiring beauty brand owner needs to know that they would never expect?
Man, I think you have to figure out what your strengths are and then what your weaknesses are and be really like real with yourself. Like, where are you weak? And then put your energy, instead of doing the stuff that you're good at, learn how to improve your weaknesses.
Interesting.
Because you can't hire people in every category at the beginning. Like, yes, it'd be great to have an amazing CFO, but when a CFO can command like 250K a year. So, yeah, you got to learn how to do finance on your own then,
mm-hmm.
or have a great mentor, or like maybe you've got someone who is a lawyer that helps you. Whatever it is, find your weakness and then focus on that at the beginning
mm-hmm.
and try and get better at that, because that's going to be the part that brings you down.
What would you say are your weaknesses?
So many. I mean, like, how much time do we have? I think I've gotten a lot better at the things I wasn't good at, but I do think managing like the full cycle of production is really difficult. So getting the timing right of ordering the bottles and making sure they hit the warehouse at the right time. And then getting all of that, it's like a dance, getting all of that together. Supply chain is what they call it.
Can we dissect the supply chain? Everyone's like, the supply chain. What the hell is the supply chain?
So basically you have your formula, right? And then you need to stability and package compatibility test it. So you have to pick out what it goes in. Mm-hmm. So then you pick out your stuff. And then you have to design the artwork. And then you have to manufacture those bottles, those droppers, whatever it is, those tubes. And so that takes time. Before COVID, it could be like a lot lower turnaround. So like 8 weeks, you could probably turn something around coming from Asia if that's where you mm-hmm. get your bottles from. I get mine from Korea. They're all custom. But, you know, they got to make them. So let's say 8 weeks of production time, 30 days on water. And then you get them. They've got to go through customs. Then they'd land at your manufacturer. So this is a dance you're doing with multiple different things if you're doing your formulas the way I do them.
So you're trying to get it to all arrive
at the same time.
Okay.
And then you also want to make sure you're not using too much capital, your money, tied up in inventory where you're not selling it. So you want to get it like, you want to hit it soon enough where you're not sitting on, okay, that was a $30,000 PO of bottles and droppers. You want to make sure you're turning that into sellable goods fast enough. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sit on 30K of stuff that's not usable, mm-hmm. but you also want to have enough that if you sell through your product, you've got enough here to manufacture more. Mm-hmm. So I think learning how like the ebbs and flows of what products do really well is a learning game, but you kind of start knowing what's going to really hit as mm-hmm. you do this. So that part was really hard for me to learn. And I went out of stock so many times.
You had sold out?
Sold out, which is great. Everyone's like, you sold out, which is amazing.
But you're like, I got to restock.
Yeah, when you're a small brand, you really have to build off that momentum. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. Chrissy Teigen was the first major celebrity to talk about us.
Love
and I'm
her.
So grateful to her. That was like an instrumental moment for my brand. Because
why did she talk about you?
I don't know.
She just got the product in her hands.
I thought it was through Jen Atkin, who I worked with at Main Addicts. And I texted her being like, oh, my God, did you give it to Chrissy? Like, thank you. And she's like, oh, my God, I've talked about it. But no, she like got that on her own. So I was just like floored because she posted about it on Instagram. I was doing a workout. I was in Pilates.
How many years ago is this?
This is in 2020.
Okay.
And that was a really rough year for a lot of brands.
Totally.
And it was hard for us because we actually did really well that year. But the supply chain, like we just talked about, was really slowed down with COVID because mm-hmm. everything was shut down. So Chrissy Teigen posts about our product on Instagram, tagging this MARA, like, I love it. Doing this like whole like sexy kind of thing with the product. And I go on after my Pilates class, because I was doing an at-home workout, as uh-huh. we all were at the yeah. time. And I go onto Shopify and I'm like, whoa, like what is, oh my God. I see like literally thousands of orders in the like thousands, and they're just rolling.
Shut up.
So I'm like, oh my God, Shopify's broken. I'm like, something, there's a glitch. I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. I had just moved to a warehouse. I was shipping my own product at the time.
Oh?
Before. So I had just switched to a warehouse. And thank God. I sent them an email being like, I do not know what happened, but don't fulfill these orders. I need to figure it out. I'm not sure if this is real. And then I start seeing the posts, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is real.
Did you get onto your own Instagram or like the Mara Beauty Instagram?
I went to Mara's after. I'm like, oh my God, Shopify's broken. I'm like, where is this coming from? Because it was coming from all over. It was uh-huh. like, people coming through Google, people coming through
this.
And
you didn't know her personally or anything?
No,
like that.
I had interviewed her once before, but she would never remember
okay.
me at the time.
Yeah.
She was on my show at Pop Sugar. But no, I did not know her. It was through Gifting Glam. My wife being a hairdresser, I gifted a lot of glam at the beginning. And so I think—
So smart.
Yeah, it was smart because I just, you know, sent it to people that I had access to.
And people trust their glam recommendations.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I think it was through Glam. I'm not sure if it was through Tracy Cunningham or someone else that was doing her hair at the time mm-hmm. Or makeup artist. Mm-hmm. But it was through that, I believe. And it was instrumental for the brand. But, you know, we sold out then and I didn't have enough. And that was really scary for me because when you have those moments, you have to be, when you're set on fire, you have to fly. Mm-hmm. And there are only these small windows that you get that are really exciting like mm-hmm. that. And I was just nervous that we were going to lose our steam because I wasn't able to provide. And if people want an oil, you know, when you see a press article, it's like Chrissy Teigen's favorite face oil. It's sold out, but here are three other options, you
yeah.
know? And so those things, like, they do hurt you. They help you and they hurt you because mm-hmm. then they find something else that they love.
More money, more problems.
Yes. And so that was an incredible moment, though. I'll never forget the feeling like that. It was awesome.
I mean, that is so cool to hear. And I just like applaud celebrities, especially like Chrissy, that take the time to do something like that, yeah. because it literally could change someone's life.
It changed the course of my business for sure. It, like, you know, I think we would have been successful in our own right, but I think that that really put us on a playing stage that was so much bigger than we were before. Mm-hmm. And so for that, I'm forever grateful to her.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Love Chrissy. Have you spoken to her or told her the story?
I've said it before, and I've said it to enough people that know her that I hope it got its way back to her. Yeah. But I did DM her and I like thanked her, and she did like heart it. And she was like, I love it or something. I was like, oh my God, she responded.
I want to ask selfishly, because I am a creator, how helpful, if at all, is it when you send product to influencers as PR? Are you seeing a return on people buying it? Is it not doing much? Is it good for the brand awareness? Like, as a business owner, what are you seeing on your end when an influencer posts and tags it after you sent it to them?
I think it just totally depends on the influencer and their audience and what they're known for. Mm-hmm. So I've seen it really hit with certain influencers. And then other times I've seen people with massive followings that post about it, and we don't see any, like, you know, anything from it. But I believe in brand awareness. I think the more people you can have talking about your product is great. And also, I just want people to love the product at the mm-hmm. end of the day. Like, I think coming from the space that I came from, I never forced anyone to post about it, and I never followed up in a weird way. Like, hey, did you get it? Did you post yeah. about it? Did you post about it? Like, people will share things if they genuinely like them. And so I think I look at influencers and how we send, because we gift heavily. I look at it as an opportunity to just have them tell people that they like it. Even if they tell their mom that they like it, mm-hmm. like, that is important to me. But also, don't discredit the fact that your community is also your biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are actually doing the hard work of like purchasing your product, telling their mom, their sister, their mm-hmm. friend. So while we do focus on influencer, the new theme is really focusing on the community at large mm-hmm. and doing special things for them. So picking, like, of our top buyers on Mara last month, or no, it was a few months ago, we picked 5 people to send our flower acid to.
Aww.
We're like, okay, you've been supporting us. Here's our product that just won an Allure Best of Beauty. We notice you haven't tried it before. Here you go. We're investing back in you in the way that you invest in us. So
I think that's so awesome when brands do anything like that, giving back to their community.
Yeah, but with influencers, I do think it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of influencers now, as you mm-hmm. know. It's a lot different than it was. Mm-hmm. People have platforms all across various modalities. YouTube, TikTok, Twitch. I mean, you'd name it. There's a platform. Mm-hmm. So I think finding people that just feel like they resonate with the brand and sending mm-hmm. that way, I think, is the best approach.
It's also so interesting to me, because when I receive product, sometimes I do get it and I'm immediately excited and take a video and throw it up on my story and tag. But the reality is, normally I like to wait on it, try it out, see if I can integrate it organically or how often I'm using it, because I find that that will turn around the product more.
Totally.
With my audience, versus like the amount of times I'm clicking through stories and I see like unboxing. tag, unboxing, which is awesome. But there's just so many now, it's hard to stand out that way. So I always wonder about that.
Well, selfishly as the brand, I love when I see people unboxing it, because my girls work so hard on the PR mailers. But as someone like you that gets sent everything too, you just don't have time. And you also want to make sure you're offering your audience things that they want to see.
Totally.
And so sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm doing an unboxing. If you don't like this thing, just like click through it. Mm-hmm. But you want to give the brands that support, or at least I do.
Absolutely. Same.
But then also, I get it. Like, I'll have things unopened for like weeks, and the brand will follow up and be like, did you open it? I'm like, oh my God, I have it. I haven't opened it yet. So our methodology has always been to offer an experience if we can, or I love doing things with things that are fresh. So I sent a mailer during COVID. It was for our C vitamin C serum, and I sent it with those farmer's market boxes that people were doing at the time.
Cute.
We were one of the first to do it. I hadn't seen anyone do it before. It was the Flamingo Estates uh-huh. farmer's market
boxes.
Oh my
gosh, iconic.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I saw every single person that got that mailer posted it. Uh-huh. And they actually even posted like what they made with the food.
Well, and it stands out.
Yeah, it was. So I think like offering things that are like unique and different, we mm-hmm. always try and be creative with it. So I think if you are trying to do a mailer and be successful with a mailer, think about something that people would actually want to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
are there any other product launches or like fun creative things you've done that you're really proud of?
Oh my gosh, I thought that one was really cool. I thought we don't do supplements anymore, but we did do supplements for a while. And
what do you mean?
Well, we made supplements.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was more like a fun like exercise that we did. Uh-huh. And it was during COVID. I felt like I was taking so many different supplements, and so I made 2 types of supplements, and one of them was called the Mara Skin Detox, and we launched it with Erewhon, and we were one of the first brands to ever do a smoothie.
What?
So we had a Mara Skin smoothie before like Hailey Bieber, before like any of them. We had our smoothie at Erewhon, and it was iconic. It was like so cool, and I feel like we didn't get quite the credit we deserved because we were like,
no.
When you're so early on, sometimes with the trend, it's not great to be the first.
Interesting.
So we had the Mara Skin Detox, which now they do for brands, you know, the ones that are free for members.
Yes.
So we launched that program basically with them. And so that was really fun. I'm super proud of that.
How did that happen?
I'm obsessed with Erewhon. My first apartment was above Erewhon. Yeah. And I shopped
there
once.
You're a California girl.
Yes. I shopped there once and never went back until I could afford it because that place is expensive. Bought like one thing in 2009. I was like, okay, gotta wait a second before we go back.
Literally, gotta pay rent.
But yeah, seriously. But I had pitched them the idea and we didn't have to pay for the collaboration because there was no one that had done it before. And we did this collaboration together where we paid for the materials. We offered it free for members for 2 weeks. And then non-members, it was like $8 or $9. That's how you know it was a long time ago. But it wasn't as fancy as like the ones
wait,
now.
Wait, the smoothie was $8 or $9?
Yeah, but it wasn't a smoothie. It was more of like a tonic.
I mean,
but still $89 for anything.
Smoothie is like what, $22?
Those are more robust, though. I will say, like Haley's smoothie is like got so much more in it than ours did. Ours was really the supplement with strawberries. We had like a little bit of creme fraiche in there, some other things that like kind of added to it.
Okay, but $8 or $9, that you would never see that at Erewhon now.
Never, but it was really cool. So I'm really proud of that one. I'm proud of the farmer's market box. What else have I really loved? We did a nail polish collaboration for our detox mask. I thought was really cool, but. You know, it's hard because you don't want to offer things that like feel like waste either. Uh-huh. I feel like, as you know, like when you get sent so much stuff, I want it to be something that someone would actually use.
Absolutely.
Not just like another thing with Mara on it. Because mm-hmm. you don't need like another Ziploc bag.
No, you guys are so particular and almost personal.
Thank
with
you.
Your gifting, I would say.
Thank you. We try because I want it to feel like we actually thought of you and we think you're going to like mm-hmm. this and this is what we're giving to you. Versus,
well, and
like,
you're so good at connect. Like now when I'm using the product, I'm like, oh, Allison. Like, you're so good at connecting and being such a great face for the brand.
Thank you.
Which I feel like makes a huge difference, especially when, like, I don't know. It's nice to have a personal connection because at the end of the day, being a creator, you only work for yourself.
Totally.
You know, it's nice to feel like you're in a community a little.
And I like getting to connect with the people that actually use the product.
Yeah.
Because it's so cool to like get feedback, whether even if it's bad feedback. I love the feedback because you're getting it in real time on how people are using the product. And I always say that products are like algorithms, like they're mine until they become yours.
Whoa.
And so like you kind of never know the shape that they're going to take.
Uh-huh.
Like I launched this. It's so personal to me and my team. We're working on it for so long. And then when you put it out in the world, you don't know what kind of identity it's going to get. And you're really.
I always think about that with TikTok.
Yes.
Like the craziest shit will blow up for no reason.
Yes. I posted one about my LED mask and I have like no followers on TikTok. Posted something and it's doing like tens and tens of thousands of views, which is crazy considering I get like 500 on other things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the one.
Yeah. No, it's this always is, the one
this
you don't
is
expect.
The one? What?
My earthquake video went viral. I was like, okay, really? Like this
perfect.
One? Yeah. Like out of all the things I do, like this is the one that goes viral.
So funny how that works. But it is. It's like an algorithm. So products are interesting because they're no longer, they're yours now. They're not mine.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back a little. Growing up, did you struggle with skin at all, like acne or anything like that?
I didn't struggle with like really bad acne, but I struggled with the idea that I should have perfect skin. And I remember I'd have like a pimple and I would get in, like World War III with my parents, like would not go to school if I couldn't cover up a pimple. Like it was out of control. Like I would literally be like, Mom, you are going to write a note. I'm not going to school today. I've always been very particular about my skin. And so I had worked on a bunch of different things. I had Differin, I had clindamycin, but I didn't need it. I don't know why I was prescribed these things. And I found retinol actually when I was 13 because I had a scar on my face and my dad was like, hey, use this like 0.1% rapid wrinkle repair with retinol just on the little thing. And I was like, okay, started noticing that the scar went away, but then also like the little acne that I had as a kid also was going away. So I've been a diehard retinol user since I was like an early teen, which is funny because I know there's all this controversy right now.
I was gonna ask you that. Speaking of, what the heck do you think about 10 or 12 year olds running around Sephora buying retinol?
10 and 12 is too young, but I think if you're experiencing hormonal acne, which they are saying that kids are getting their periods earlier than ever before.
Why?
I don't know. It's just a shift in maybe our food or the things that we're exposed to, but kids now are getting
Whoa.
Their periods a year or two earlier than people did when they were, you know, our age growing up.
How do you know
up.
This?
All the different doctors that I follow. And if you like research it, you'll notice that just puberty is happening earlier. And my two cents is, if they have a skin concern, I don't think it's too early to use a retinol or something like that because dermatologists and doctors are prescribing kids. I was in eighth grade and I had Differin and I had clindamycin. I think that is
Same.
Much more dangerous to use because I actually burn my face off by using way too much. They say pea size and I'm like, you know what's going to work better than a pea size? A quarter.
Yeah.
So I do think with the right type, you know, because you're like, I have one pimple. I'm like, they're like, put a small amount. I'm like,
yeah.
So I do think that with the right direction from the parent, like, hey, use this at night. If they do have bad skin, I don't think it's a problem the way that other people are thinking it's crazy. Now, the fact that they are destroying testers and making a ruckus in the stores, that I don't love because we pay for the testers as the brand. But yeah, I'm not all like my panties aren't in a bunch about it the way some people are. I do not care. You know what? Fine.
You're like, how do I get my oil in these 12-year-old hands?
Honestly, our oil you can use on a baby if you'd like. Like, yeah. Honestly, my wife's sister, her baby has really bad eczema and I have really bad psoriasis. And she was like, we used universal face oil on his little cheeks and look how they calm down. And I'm like, I know, because I have really bad skin issues too. So there are products that are great for everyone. Yeah. Now, if it's a really intense, like we can use Drunk Elephant as the example, like baby facial, which is a really intense acid, I would not recommend that because you don't need to chemically exfoliate the skin that much when you're that young.
Even as an adult, I'm pretty sure you're only supposed to use that like once or twice a week.
Yeah. So those types of products definitely need a discerning eye when they're being used and are not meant for a 10-year-old. But things like a low dosage retinol, if they have acne, I don't know. I don't see the problem mm-hmm. with it.
Is there anything else scientifically that we should, as the consumer, know more about when it comes to skincare?
I think a lot of actives don't go together that people are using together.
What do you mean?
So using like, I think that people are getting much more knowledgeable now, but you shouldn't use a retinol the same night that you're using an acid. And not because it's going to destroy your face. It probably won't actually. Is that the pHs don't balance together. So what your skin needs to actually receive a retinol is a different pH than the formula of an acid.
And what would an acid example be?
So our flower acid algae serum.
Okay.
Anything with like a lactic acid, a glycolic acid, and you would see an AHA or BHA potentially on the label. So that would be an acid. And then a retinol is, you know mm-hmm. retinol is vitamin A derivative. And
so you don't want to use both of those at the same time?
Same night. You can use them different nights, which is great. That's what we call skin cycling.
Okay.
But you just don't want to use them together. And so there are formulas where you might see them both in there. And I try and stray away from those because I feel like they're not the best formulas. Uh-huh. I like to have singular active formulas. So if you're going heavy on like a vitamin A night, I kind of like to lean into that. And then on alternating nights, I'll use like an acid.
What's skin cycling?
Skin cycling is basically using retinol and an acid on alternating nights and okay. then having rest nights for your skin to kind of rest, which I think is so important. Just like exercise. Like, you're not going to exercise every single day.
Yeah.
And you're going to switch it up based on what you want to work on your body. Your skin's the same.
Interesting. So you recommend like, what, every 3 to 5 nights doing a no skincare?
Not no skincare, but I'll do just like wash my face in just an oil or wash my face. I've actually done detox nights where I use nothing too. Uh-huh. I think it's important just to let your skin kind of like recalibrate too. I think your skin should be intuitive when you treat it. And I know that's really hard because we talked about gut and intuition before. But if your skin's feeling dry, a lot of people will over exfoliate. But they're already dry. So maybe just kind of put on a light moisturizer and let your skin kind of heal itself mm-hmm. overnight and then go back to your active. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we hit too hard with things that we think are helping when they're actually hurting.
Do you feel like your universal face oil is good for people who have acne?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
It's low on the comedogenicity scale, which means it's not going to clog pores. It's not going to make you break out. Moringa is amazing for all of that. It's so good for healing things. They've been using it for years to heal wounds. So it's so great for calming the skin. We have so many amazing anti-inflammatories in there, too, which really help with acne-prone skin. But if someone has really bad acne and they're scared of oils, I always say start with our retinol oil. Because that one actually has stuff that's really going to target and help things like blemishes and fine lines. Whereas the universal oil, its first purpose is a hydrator. Mm-hmm. And then it also has these calming properties, anti-aging properties as the secondary attribute. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like people with acne-prone skin are scared of oils. So there is that.
Totally. I remember being so scared because I had very acne-prone skin. And I still do to this day. But when I was breaking out in the midst of everything, like I had the hormonal acne and everything, I was so scared to use an oil because I feel like for some reason, I feel like I was told that you shouldn't use an oil, like anything oily on your face when you have acne. But as I've gotten older, I've realized how helpful oils can be, especially face oils.
Well, a lot of times people with acne-prone skin are actually really, they have really dry skin, even though they're oily, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And their skin is actually overproducing oil, and that's why the breakouts are being caused, right? Mm-hmm. You're producing more oil, then it's getting trapped in the dermis, yada, yada, yada. But if you're using something like an oil, it signals to the skin, hey, we're happy, and it's actually going to produce less oil over time.
Wow.
Yeah, so oil is amazing for acne-prone skin, and you are not wrong. You were fed the oil-free messaging.
Yes.
We were all fed that. It was kind of like the era of oil-free acne wash and those 100-calorie packs.
Yes, like fat-free.
Fat-free. Like fat-free, low-cal, high sugar.
Yes.
Terrible for you.
Crazy.
But like I'd eat like three of those snack packs being like, oh, only 300 calories.
I'd be like, I'm so skinny.
It's like, why don't you just eat
Oreo thins?
Yeah, why don't you eat some like chicken or something or a protein? Like, yeah. You know, we weren't really fed that messaging when we were younger. Uh-huh. And same thing with skin. Mm-hmm. So
is there anything you can do to help have healthy and beautiful skin that isn't skincare related?
Yes. Exercise.
Okay.
Is incredible for your skin. Because it kind of like how we talked about lymphatic drainage. Mm-hmm. It helps like bring blood cells to the face, especially mm-hmm. if you're working out. Incredible. Your diet is so important. Fixing your diet. A lot of our skin issues are hormonal or diet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that we eat that we might think are good for us actually don't work with your skin. So I actually noticed a few years ago, I did a Geneva blood test to see mm-hmm. like things I was having an issue with, because I've always had gut issues. And I would notice that when I was having those bad gut issues, I would have inflammation and breakouts on my face.
Interesting.
And things like spinach, I found out, came really high on my inflammatory response test that I took. So when I started eliminating things that I was eating that were healthy, like cod, I was eating a lot of cod because it was in my like black cod era for like Nobu and this place called Katsuya by my house. I was eating a lot of cod.
Yeah.
And like, cut out things like spinach, cod. I was eating a ton of peanut butter. Things that like weren't necessarily bad for you, but like were bad for me, mm-hmm. really helped my skin. So diet is more about, oh, you can only eat this. It's finding out what actually works with your body.
Uh-huh. So would that be like, would you have to take a blood test to figure that out, or just being really intuitive with what you're eating?
Now I think that you don't have to take a blood test. Yeah. There's also other ways you can do it. But I think like, you know, when you eat something and you're like, oh, that didn't feel great.
Yeah.
Kind of listening to your body in that and seen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you recommend, like water intake or obviously not being in the sun, like things like that?
Of course, not being in the sun. Look at me. I do not go in the sun. So sunscreen's really important.
Really? Are you like, period, no sun?
No sun.
Like, and if you're going like on a walk or something, is it hat sunscreen, everything?
Okay. Yeah, I used to be like tanorexic. That's like a whole other story. I was like obsessed with tanning for years. And it was part of like what we were talking about earlier, like coming into my own and feeling good in my own skin. I think growing up in California, I felt like I had to be this like hot tan blonde. And I'm just like not that. So, you know, like beach life, culture, surfing, like cute girls with blonde hair. I felt like I had to look like that. Mm-hmm. And so I like, when Mystic Tan first launched, it was the first like spray booth that you could go into. I became obsessed with that. And then going into that, I realized there were tanning beds. And I am so upset, but I did do tanning beds uh-huh. for like a few years in my teens. And I feel like I finally had like a come to Jesus where I'm like, wait, I don't need to be tan to be pretty. And that was a big thing for me. So now, yes, full sun, full shade, full SPF.
SPF everywhere. Yeah. Is there a favorite sunscreen of yours?
We do have a sunscreen that we make.
Oh, amazing.
Which I love. But I believe that the best type of sunscreen is the one that you like to use. So, and I think that you should get your sunscreen in multiple ways. So I love layering sunscreens. I love using ours with like a Tower 28. Do you know the makeup brand Tower 28?
Yeah, they're amazing.
She's amazing. Amy Lou is incredible. Shout out to my friend Amy.
Aren't they very eczema,
yes.
like aware or certified something? I don't know the terminology. But she like, their makeup is like the only one that really works with eczema.
Yes. And as I mentioned earlier, I have a lot of skin issues. Yeah. I have psoriasis and eczema and rosacea. So I love that about her products. And she is a great tinted sunscreen. So I love like layering mine and hers together. I also love the Kosa Sunbeam. Have you tried it?
You know what? I haven't, but I really like that brand.
Yeah, it's really good. It's in like a cute little pink tube too. So it's great to like keep on the go. So those are probably my favorite sunscreens.
Mm-hmm. Are there other beauty, like what are your other beauty brands that are some of your favorites besides your own?
You know, it's funny. I use so many things, but I always come back to Mara. I'm a Tata Harper girl through and through.
What is that?
Tata Harper?
Yeah.
She's like the OG, like luxurious, clean beauty brand.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
I can't believe I've never heard of her.
Yeah, she's incredible. She sold her brand to Amore Pacific last year, I think. Her stuff's amazing. It's expensive, but it's really good. Her cleansers are iconic. So we make an oil cleanser that's one of our best sellers, but I like to sometimes use a gel cleanser after that or her regenerating cleanser. Mm-hmm. Both amazing. I mentioned I use Road, so I have her peptide glazing fluid and that the essence that we talked about.
How are you using the Road products in your routine?
I love essences, and I actually don't like to wash my face in the morning. I have really dry skin and I feel like people overwash their face sometimes and that can also cause breakouts. So in the morning, if I don't feel like my face is sticky from anything that I used the night before, I'll actually just damp the face, use the glazing milk and then go on with my vitamin C and then my sunscreen. And that's like my morning.
Oh, okay. Love.
Yeah. So I use it in that way. So I like her products. I'm trying to think. I love Alpen. My friend Kendra owns Alpen Beauty. She's got a great huckleberry peel that I think is really fun to use if you need a nice exfoliation. There's so many good brands, though. I love Ranavat, too. I'm not sure if you've heard of Ranavat. She's got this Ayurvedic skincare line that's beautiful.
This
very like luxurious saffron mask that's really fun to use.
Are there any underrated brands, you think, that are out there that aren't talked about enough?
That's such a good question. I'm trying to like, I'm going through the Sephora wall. Okay, there's a new brand that I think is really cool. And they launched at the same time that we did. And I've only used a few of their products, but I think they're really great. It's called Matter of Fact.
Oh, cute.
Yeah,
love
it's
that
cute.
Name.
And the founder's really cute. He's this like really cute Asian guy and he's got incredible skin. And a lot of his formulas are really active heavy. So I have to be careful on which ones I use. But there's this one that I've been using that's got turmeric and bakuchiol in it, which is a alternative to retinol. And I really love it.
Okay,
so,
fabulous.
Yeah, and he's on our wall too, the next big thing, which is the wall at Sephora. So I love promoting brands that are also just putting in the grind, trying to make it on that wall. So
wait, okay, I want to briefly talk about Sephora. You're in Sephora, which is insane. How many products? Everything in Sephora?
So all products are on Sephora.com.
Okay.
And then our top sellers are in stores.
Which is the universal face oil?
Face oil. The cleansing oil is in there. The retinol oil.
What about my Sea Sculpt body oil?
The body oil is launching in March.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, because it's been doing so well online.
I put so many people onto it.
Really?
Yes, just real life people.
Thank you.
My friends that just visited, I'm like, guys, use this shit.
Body oil is the best.
So good.
That one is entering Sephora stores, which we're really excited. The Sea Dream is going to be in there. So
amazing.
It's our first launch that's actually going directly into stores because we're really excited for it. And then our lip balms. But those are the ones that are on the wall and then the rest of them are online.
Okay, what's the beloved wall?
The wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, for brands, there's several stages of getting into Sephora. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool about Sephora is they really help build brands. I think they're the best brand builders in the industry.
So why?
Because I feel like they really support you. Mm-hmm. They really give you great advice. They support the brands. I feel like that they really take under their wing. And I felt just so much love from them this past year. And one of the things that they do that I think is so great is that when you're a bigger brand, those gondolas that you see, the brands pay for those, by the way. They pay for those.
Wait, what do you mean the gondolas?
It's called a gondola, but you walk in and say you see like Rare Beauty.
That's immediately there.
So the brand pays for the decoration on that.
Okay.
So if you see like a really fancy integrated gondola, the brand is paying for that. And those cost millions to do. There's 500 Sephoras in the U.S. So when you're paying for 500 gondolas that are custom, incredibly expensive. The other thing is end caps, which is kind of a smaller.
Yes.
So those are also expensive and paid for by the brand. But with
how much is an end cap?
I mean, honestly, it can be as expensive as you want it to be because it's your design. I have never designed an end cap, but I know that they can cost $500,000 maybe.
Shut up.
You know, I mean, look, I'm throwing numbers out based on what I would calculate, but just depends.
Okay.
I know like Merit, which is an incredible beauty brand, they had Jake Arnold, one of my favorite interior designers, design their gondola.
Oh, wow.
So
you're into interior.
I started in fashion.
You wear so many hats. I love it.
You know what? I'm just a student of life.
Yes.
I like to say. I'm interested in lots of things.
Okay. So they worked with
Jake Arnold, who's an incredible designer who designed their gondola. So that's what I'm saying. You can ball out as much as you want.
Okay.
You can make it your own. But it's the brand's responsibility to make it come to life. The next big thing wall they have for makeup, for fragrance, for skincare as well. It's a wall where they display new brands and you don't have to pay for the space there. They like print it out. You get to design your little like card and they give you this opportunity to grow within their ecosystem without having to have a massive line item like a gondola or an end cap.
Got it.
And I feel like a lot of eyes, you know, go to that wall because you want to see the next cool thing.
Yeah. Where is it in the store?
It changes depending on the store, but it's on a wall. And a lot of times it'll be like the very back or like on one of the side walls. But you'll see it. It'll say like skincare's next big thing.
Yeah. No, I remember seeing it, but I just in the store, I was like, is there a specific place to look? But it's just different everywhere.
It changes, yeah.
Okay. So are you out of that wall now? Or are you still, you're still in the next big thing?
Yeah, I want to be on the wall. You want to be on the wall to, you know, for as long as you can because you're still growing. And so, you know, we're still on the wall. We changed our decoration. So a new picture of me will be going up in Sephora's.
Oh,
very excited. But yeah, we're still on the wall and we're really happy there. So we're just grateful to be a part of it.
How do you even get in Sephora?
I think it's a lot of things. I think it's really great press. I think it's great sales. I think it's the buzziness of your brand. I think it's tenacity. I think it's the strength of your formulas. you know, they have to see something in you, obviously, to be chosen, because there's so many brands out
there. Is this something you're pitching to them directly?
Yes. I mean, I pitched directly for years. It takes a long time.
How many years?
Well, I launched the brand in 2018, and we launched with them in 2023. So that's 5 years alone. We found out in February. We found out like in 2022, I think in June, that we were for sure launching with them.
I can't even imagine the phone call or what you felt
screaming.
Like.
Screaming. I'll never forget that day either.
What was it like?
It was a Zoom call, and the head, the lead was on there of Sephora. Along with the rest of the team.
Did you have any idea, like an inkling or anything?
I was hopeful, like, because I had pitched them and we had been talking and like there was like good vibes out there, but you just really, do you ever really know anything? And you know, I think the one thing production has taught me is you don't know that something's happening until it airs. Yes.
I don't believe it till I'm on the trip or on the plane.
On the plane, on the trip, or it is literally, I've had TV shows like pilots that are like, it's launching and then pulled. So it is not there until
it airs. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a really exciting phone call. I don't cry very easily, but I think I cried after.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So you were just pitching throughout the years. Like, what does that even look like? Are you sending a deck via email? Is this Zooms? Like, did you have a connection?
Did
your dad help? What's the nitty gritty of that?
No, he did not help. But you know, I think the thing is, I had found a buyer earlier on that actually, I think, approached me. I was a part of the Sephora Accelerate program where I was actually giving brands advice on how to public speak. So brand founders as a part of the Sephora Accelerate program and met some connections through that. And then just kind of like, I am not shy. I don't shy away from being annoying, like not to the point where like you're really annoying someone, but I have no, like, I don't care about following up and getting rejected.
Okay.
I don't mind being told no. You have to be okay with no in our line of work.
Totally.
Like, you're going to get shut down or not casted or no'd all the time. So I followed up with the people I had met through that program, eventually kind of made my way to a buyer, started pitching them updates, you know, like, okay, like the brand seems really young still. You don't even have a warehouse. Little did I know at the time, you absolutely need a warehouse to be at Sephora. Like, I was shipping shit myself. Do you think I was ready? No. So I think those big updates, like, hey, we were on the Today Show.
Yeah.
Major milestone. Hey, you know, only follow up when you feel like there's something to share. We have a new product launching. I'd love to send it to you.
That's huge. Only follow up when there's something to share.
Yeah. Don't just be like, they said no, not
hey,
right
I'm
now.
Here again.
And follow up in 3 months with nothing. Like, don't follow up. Oh, hey, we won a Lore Best of Beauty. That would be a great time to follow up.
Yes.
That's a huge, like, Oscar of beauty. Mm-hmm. So finding those key moments to continue to follow up, even if you've gotten the, oh, not right now, or I think you can't let those get you down, because if you really believe in something, I think you can make it happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. And one more question I have to ask about. When you were doing the public speaking class or whatever, what advice were you giving people?
It was so long ago. I remember it was 2018, so it was the year I launched my brand.
Because you're so well-spoken.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think I was telling people that if you don't have something to say right away, like, it's okay to take a pause. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we like to fill space with our voice, and if you're not a professional speaker, it's not going to come out right. Mm-hmm. So pauses are important. And just if whatever it is to relax before you do a public speaking element, I think is really important. So I always advise people to take like magnesium, or people take beta blockers, even something that can calm you down. Like, don't get hopped up on like a coffee or an Alani Nu if you're someone who gets nervous before public speaking.
Yeah, or shaky.
You're shaking.
Yeah.
You know? So I think those were some of the tips I gave. And then you're going to speak eloquently on things that you know. So just really just read through your stuff a million times. Like, you're going to be able to answer any question if you know what you're talking about.
Totally. The more I'm prepared, the more I don't have to rely on anything. It's just, I know in my heart and
exactly.
soul.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
And if you don't know your formulas that well, then study them.
Mm-hmm.
Study them. You know what each ingredient does. Speak eloquently that way. Like, read through your stuff a million times. Like, you should be able to say it a bunch of different ways too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the advice I gave.
Well, you are full of advice and tips, and I just think you are so cool. And thank you for sharing everything, because you have worked your ass off, and I'm so glad it's finally being recognized.
Thank you.
So where can everyone follow you and find you?
Well, you can find us at The Mara Beauty, most importantly. That's where you see all my good stuff. I'm at Allison McNamara, and you can shop us at Sephora.
Yeah, I've been dreaming. Which is so crazy. Like, is that not insane to say?
Oh, it's like literally we'll never get old. Like, we'll never get old.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
So crazy. I can't wait to tell everyone about it. Maybe we could do like a giveaway.
Yes, let's do it.
Maybe? Yeah, yes. For a Making Moves listener.
Let's do
it. Okay, so follow Allison and Mara Beauty on everything. Follow me on everything and comment down below.
What do you want to... You
Sea Dream?
Yeah, like what's... Yeah, like, well, Sea Dream is it. So we've been saying like, what are you manifesting for this year?
Okay, love that. Comment down below what you're manifesting this year.
Yeah.
Follow us and we'll do a giveaway.
Perfect.
Oh, amazing.
I'm so excited.
And then last question is, what are you doing to make moves in your life right now?
Right now, making moves, you know, product launch season is so crazy for us because mm-hmm. we don't get them that often. So right now we're just trying to like absorb the moments because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes these we work so hard, like 6 to 8 months out on these launches, and then they go by so fast.
Kinda
like
you sorry to interrupt. You do 1 to 2 products a year.
Yeah. So okay. we don't get many of these. And it's kind of like a wedding. Like you plan for it and then it's gone. And you're like, so right now, as important as it is to make moves, like my true mindset right now is enjoying what we've worked so hard mm-hmm. to show everyone. Mm-hmm. So, but after that, we have a really exciting acne-focused product that's launching later this year.
Yay!
So, I actually haven't told anyone that yet.
Okay,
so.
Tea. tea spilled on making moves today.
I love it.
Anyway, so follow us, comment down below what you're manifesting, and be sure to make someone else's day this week. We love you guys, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.